good to see you again here on another Bible study day. And we've got a real good...
Our text today, scripture, comes from... This was probably written by a student or a protege, so to speak, of Isaiah. Those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we all become a part and are adopted into that family.
And God is going to give you an opportunity to be good, kind, to elevate, to help somebody.
All right, we're going to get right into our lesson today. And we've got a real good lesson. Welcome to our Wednesday Bible study. My name is Michael Evans, and I'm blessed with the opportunity to serve on this day. All right, we're going to ask you to open your Bibles to Galatians, the letter to the church at Galatia. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Our subject is freedom to love. Our subject is freedom to love, freedom to love. All right, let's get right to it on today. In Galatia, of course, you're going to hear Paul being somewhat upset because of the fact that the word of God was being spread, I mean, just rapidly. People were being converted, I mean, rapidly. And also, you'll discover that there were folks on fire for the Lord. But you know how it is. Anytime you try to do good, evil is always present. So after Paul left and went on to his next place of service, the Judaizers came in behind him. And the Judaizers, they were Jewish Christians who believed that you had to first keep all of the Jewish laws, the Jewish feast days, and then you could be counted as saved, be counted as a Christian. Now, of course, we know that the Apostle Paul was totally against this. And also, it had been confirmed in the first gathering of the apostles as well as of the disciples at the Jerusalem conference, the first one, that you do not have to be Jew, then become Christian, that when the Lord saves you, he saves you out of your condition wherever you are. When you profess Christ as your personal Savior, when you believe that he died on the cross and that 3 days later God raised him from the dead. That is the statement of salvation. Belief and faith is what gets us there. Belief is faith. That is what helps us to be justified. That means being made right through our belief in Christ so that we can now be right in the sight of God. Paul is going to spend much time in our text today bringing that point home, giving arguments and counterpoint arguments to what he was being faced with, even being challenged. Therefore, he writes this letter. All right. Now, Paul is writing them, y'all, as would a parent. He's their father in the ministry. So he writes them. So you're going to find some correction in here. And you're going to find also where Paul is a bit angry and upset with those who so quickly bought into what the Judaizers were saying. I know as a parent, especially when my kids were growing up, it's amazing how you can teach them each and every day right from wrong. But then if somebody from the outside told them something that was contrary to your home training, they would give an ear to it. You know, praise God, my kids turned out all right. But you understand what I'm saying. So here Paul is bothered by that as well. So we have, if you would, beginning at verse number 1, the word of God says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Be not entangled again with the yoke of slavery. Paul is saying in verse number 1 that you have accomplished, excuse me, so much in Christ. He says you have accomplished so much in Christ. He says stand in that. Stand firm on that. Stand firm on the fact that through Christ Jesus, you have been liberated from the law of Moses. which is, we learned last week, which is the schoolmaster, which is the guiding post or the boundaries for our transgressions. To transgress means that you step outside the boundaries. He's saying that through the freedom of the gospel, you have been set free and you are free, praise God, and free indeed. That is so very important. You are free and you are free indeed. So here you have the Apostle Paul trying to help them to know, don't go backwards into your belief. Don't go backwards because you had somebody coming here and preaching a different gospel, causing you to backslide. Let me work out backslide. So when I'm talking about backsliding, it means I'm saying that you go back. You go backwards in regard to your understanding of who Christ is and your relationship to Christ. I'm not saying that you fall back into sin. What I'm saying is you've been taught one thing. Now somebody else comes in, confuses you, and then knocks you backwards. All right? And that is what we are speaking against. He says, don't be entangled again by that yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage then would be submission to the law of Moses. Now, again, the law of Moses had and has its limitations. It is like a yoke. It is a yoke is a burden. A yoke indicated the submission of a weaker power to a stronger power. And God, however, desires that we be free, and our freedom is in Him. Amen. Amen. So then we're not burdened, y'all, by the needs of others in regard to the law. In regard to the law. Verse number 2 says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you pick back up again on the argument of the Judaizers and are influenced by the Judaizers, and if you allow yourself to be circumcised, then you need to understand that in regard to the value of your faith, it doesn't mean anything to you, because you should have already come to know that you don't need to keep kosher. You don't need to be circumcised. You don't need to keep the feast days. The Lord has set us free from all of that. And our freedom, again, is in Christ. But again, if you revert back to a legalistic mindset and believing that in order to be saved, you've got to keep statute 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, then the salvation that you have, the handwriting on the wall, is that you're going to fall back into those old practices, and you will not be able to understand that faith is what frees us, not righteousness by the law. Because righteousness by the law says, well, you know, if I do these 5 things, then I'm going to get in no matter whatever else I do. That is not our practice. The Latter-day Saints believe that. They call it works righteousness. You know, the more you do down here, the bigger your house in heaven's going to be. It does not work that way. It does not work that way. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, you can pay your tithe. You can come to church every Sunday. But if you live a raunchy life or a double life, you're still going to go to hell. I mean, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But it is our faith, our trust in the Lord. That's what keeps us tethered to Christ. That's what keeps us bound by Him, because it directs your consciousness. It directs your path. It helps you to practice, behave, and to do those things that are right in the sight of the Most High God. So you want to show faith in Christ rather than trying to keep every letter of the law. When you show faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit helps you to stay right and live right and do right. Verse number 4, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Paul is saying that if you pick back up that practice, then you give yourself over to the law. It's either all or nothing. You can't be straddled. You can't straddle, have one foot in the law of Moses, said, I'm going to live by that, and then say, oh, but also in regard to my faith, you know, I'm going to trust in the Lord, but I got to do this too. He said, no. And he'll say later on in here, he'll tell you what the greatest commandment is, because if you keep that command, it helps you to keep all of the law in regard to your understanding of Christ. So again, if you give your life to the law, you become a debtor to the law. If you are circumcised, when you are circumcised, then you are required to follow the entirety of it. That's what he's saying in verse number 3. It's an all or nothing proposition. That is exactly what that is. That is exactly what that is. And which means that if you disobey one piece, one point of the law, then if you're following that, then grace has no place in your life. But if you follow Christ through faith, grace, amen, is a byproduct of that. Is a byproduct of your relationship with the Lord. Verse number 4 says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Again, only faith can bring about our justification. Only our faith, our belief in Christ is what makes us, causes us, even in, with the fact that we are guilty of anything that we've done prior to salvation. Because of Christ, we are acquitted. All right? So we are made right with God because we're justified by faith. And that is so very important. Amen. Verse number 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. A key word here is hope. Key word is hope. Key word is hope. Their hope was instead based on faith and the Spirit. The key word is hope. Their hope was instead based on faith and the Spirit. That's our hope. Amen. Faith and the Spirit. Our hope is in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what, praise God, gives us the strength. The Holy Spirit is what helps us to stay right and stay straight. All right. Now, some people in this particular text, verse number 5, some people argue that justification could only come about through following the law of Moses. Paul, of course, pushes that down. Instead, Paul says, no, we are taught that righteousness for both Jew and Gentile was attained only through our faith in Christ Jesus. All right. And in regard to a person's faith, God is the one who declares us righteous. Amen. So that's why he says, no, I'm good. We'll wait for the hope of the righteous of righteousness by faith. I believe that when I give myself over to Christ, praise God, then I am justified by faith. Amen. And again, it's the Holy Spirit. It's that hope in the Spirit that ultimately transforms each and every one of us. All right. Also, it's important to understand that the transformation doesn't come until you give your life over to Christ. All right. So when you're reading that verse number 5, that's it. And that is so very important. All right. Verse number 6 says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. All right. Amen. So he says, whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, it doesn't avail anything. I mean, it doesn't make you right. All right. So whether you go through the rites of Judaism, bless your heart, that doesn't make you right. No, it is faith. It is faith. Faith is what is counted in regard to our relationship with Christ. It is our faith that is counted in regard to our relationship with Christ. I want you to just hone in, y'all, on the importance of building up your faith. And the Word of God teaches that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. I mean, you know, I've been talking about faith here for the last 5 minutes, but you get it through adherence and you get it by hearing the Word of God. You get it through Bible study like you're here today. That's how you get it. You get it by putting your heart and your mind into the Word. And listen, don't just think that you are able to teach or train yourself. Yeah, you have devotion with yourself, but at some point You need to, you've got to become and partner yourself with or join yourself with a teaching ministry so that you can ask questions and you can better understand what the Lord is saying to you through his word. Amen. So the fulfillment of the law, y'all, the fulfillment of the law is, praise God, the fulfillment of the law is in love. Romans 13 and 8, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Matthew 22, 38 and 40, this is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. That's not Paul, that's Jesus there. All right. So it is that love. It is that love that is so very, very important. All right. Pressing forward. Verse number 7 says, ye do run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Paul is saying, why am I even having to reteach this? Because I taught it to you early on. Why do we have to go through a lengthy letter and I've got to retell the story? I've got to re-preach the sermon. I've got to reteach the lesson. He said, you did run well. Everything was going fine. I want to know who messed you up. Now, it's believed, of course, that this is a rhetorical question because Paul knows who messed him up. Let me tell y'all something. Just because a person can speak well, just because an individual can dress well or look the part of a preacher or teacher or have 5 or 6 verses that they memorize does not make them anointed. That does not anoint them. You look at our lives, you listen to what we say. Does that match up with the person? Amen. That is so important, my brothers and sisters, in understanding that. Don't allow outside voices to mess you up. That's one of the reasons why we have youth and children's church here, because what we attempt to do is to pull the child out of the 11 o'clock service, the big church, where you, not many, they young, but where y'all let them play on their telephone or bring a little doll or something and they bouncing them around while somebody next to them is trying to hear the word of God. Now, what we do is say, please allow us to escort your baby, or you take your child, check them into children's church. And I guarantee you that in children's church and youth church, they are talking about the Lord at a different level. They're putting it at a level where your children can understand. And while they are there, they can, the babies, the children can ask questions and have interactions with the preacher, those who are there to help them, to serve them. Wednesday night, Bible study. The reason why we have that, and we break people out in ages, in particular kids, so that they can get age-appropriate and age-specific training, so that when they get to college and they step on that campus, you don't have somebody coming to them with the Hebrew Israelite stuff, or coming to them with this non-Jesus philosophy, or coming to them, I'm a Gnostic. You understand? I think y'all hear what I'm saying. Let them get it now. And let me love on you. Stop allowing the person on the other side of that gaming system to raise your child, to form your child's thoughts or ethos, their psyche. Stop allowing that, because you're going to mess around and raise a monster in your house. And you didn't even know that the monster was rising because we turned them over to the television or to the person on the other side of that shoot 'em up game, or where they're chopping off the monster's head. You got to have them. You got to balance off their life with words. You got to do that. And you know, it's crazy. This is 22 rather. And in 2022, 22 is different from even 2000. But I'll take you back further to 82, you know, and the 92. And some of y'all listening to 72. Some of y'all are older to 62, where it was mandatory, where you went to church because they knew it was going to bless you later on in life. Train up a child in the way in which they should go. When they get older, they will not depart from it. One of the reasons why these kids are shooting their brains out, one of the reasons why they're cutting their wrists, one of the reasons why they're jumping off of bridges. One of the reasons why they're going in shooting up stuff is because they have not been given the foundation that is the Word of God. Amen. I stayed on that too long. I'm sorry. Amen. But watch this. Verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Paul is saying, I didn't teach y'all this stuff that y'all are teaching. These Judaizers are the ones who messed y'all up. Paul says in Galatians 1 and 6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Amen. He says it's blowing my mind how you've allowed, Galatians 1 and 7, somebody to pervert the word of God. So perverted to where it's persuaded you not to even serve in the church. It's persuaded you not to feel like it's all right to be healthy. It's all right to be, you can go to basketball games, football games. It's all right for you not to find yourself in somebody's church on a given Sunday. Whether you listen to me in another state, whatever it is, I love you. But this cannot be all that you get, because you're going to have some human interaction. Faith without works, my brother and sister, it is dead. Amen. It is dead. Watch this. Verse 9 says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little bad teaching that's allowed in church, that's allowed in Sunday school class, that's allowed in a brotherhood, that's allowed in a mission, that's allowed, just a little bad teaching, just a little off theology can mess up the whole class. Y'all know what leaven is, huh? When that bread starts, that yeast, you put that yeast roll starts to rising, that's just a little yeast, that's just a little bit. But it will have an effect on that particular substance or material. It's the same way in the church. Huh? And people get upset. You know, I was a Bible teacher at my last church. Well, just because you were a Bible teacher over there, don't mean you can be one over here. We don't even know your theology yet. Well, I was a preacher. I'm Reverend so-and-so. Well, congratulations. High five. But we don't know what you're preaching until you've gone through classes, methodology classes here, pedagogy, until you've gone through classes on what to teach, how to teach, articles of faith. Here at Bethlehem, we need to know that you know where we stand on issues concerning the Word of God. Because if you just drop a little bit of wrong into somebody's mind, they're going to run off with it, and it spreads just like COVID-19. It does. A little leaven. It's the same in your house. You got to correct stuff in your house, especially if you have kids. You got to correct that mess immediately. Because if you don't, then when they get older, and then when you eventually have to put them out, they're taking that poison and spreading it throughout their peer groups. And you got to be careful about allowing them to bring in stuff. It's just like my mama. I couldn't bring in a pair of tennis shoes that she didn't buy. Hello. Hello. No, stay with me. I couldn't bring it in there. But my mama and daddy didn't purchase it. It don't get to come in the house because she want to know where it come from. Same with that mentality. If your kid starts talking back at 8 or 9 and you let them do that, if you don't monitor who your kids are associating with and they start acting a fool and want to fight you, that's your fault. Amen. A little leaven leavens the whole bunch, the whole lump, the whole loaf, King James would say. The whole lump, the whole loaf will do that. Verse number 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Paul is saying, I've got confidence that you know better. I've got confidence in that you have kept the faith. I've got confidence that you're not going to allow some outsider to come in. Well, I'm going to deal with that here in 2 minutes. Some outsider to come in and to mess up your mind, mess up your brain. I'm going to get political here real quick. You know, one of the things that irks me is when you have a local election and you allow people from the outside outside of your city, outside of your town. They don't know the people. They don't know the city government. They don't know the school district. They don't know how you do what you do. They don't know how we interact, but people from the outside influencing what goes on the inside. And then if the people on the inside allow the influence from the outside to help them to win, then the other side has got to do the same thing. And then before it's all over, you open a Pandora's box and you got a mess on your hand. But Paul says, I got to be confident in the fact that you are not going to allow this outside teaching to mess up the church. And he says, but whoever it is that's spreading these lies, I hope the Lord deal with them. He that troubleth you shall bear this, his judgment, whosoever he be. Whoever it is, whoever that teacher is, he didn't call a name. Whoever it is that's teaching you this bad gospel, curses on them. Ooh, that's pretty tough. But Paul meant every bit of it. Verse 11, he says, and I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is it the offense of the cross ceased? What Paul is saying here is that if I preach what the Judaizers are preaching, let's say that I give myself to that. If I preach what they are preaching, then why am I still undergoing the same this kind of persecution? Why are they still talking this talk about me and about what I taught them? Paul is saying that he's not the old Paul. See, because that's what they were alluding to. They were saying, I don't know why y'all listening to him. Remember his past. Remember how he used to preach circumcision. Remember how he stood and held the clothing of the people that stoned Stephen. Remember when he was on his way to Damascus. He was on the road to Damascus. Remember what happened. He was going to get people, capture them, throw them into jail. Remember him? Oh, Paul hadn't changed. Paul said, wait a minute. If I hadn't changed, then why am I still going through what I'm going through? Paul is saying, that's not who I am anymore. Paul is saying, I am suffering now for the cross. Paul is saying, I messed up and I am being dealt with even now because of the stuff that I used to do. And let me help you understand something. You know, when people stop arguing, they don't have anything to throw at you. They're going to find stuff from your past. It's just that way. Oh, he said in 1984, he said A, B, C, D. I was 17 years old in 1984. I was 18 in 1984. I said a lot of stupid stuff. Amen. But that's not who I am today. How many of you? Same thing. What Paul is saying is, I hear their argument. But you know what? Once they go there, then I know that they've already lost. Because to the Judaizers, salvation without the merit of the law was equally as offensive as saying that you don't need the law in order to be saved. And Paul is saying, I'm telling you right now, it's faith that saves us. Amen. 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 He highlights, if you would, here the offense of the cross in verse number 11. I just want to look at it in another translation. Let me read it to you like this from the English Standard Version. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. If I have not changed as a man, if I have not changed my message, then why am I still being persecuted by the Jewish leadership? If I'm doing what they want me to do, then why are they after me? Amen. See, I've learned this. Satan only gets after people that are opposing him. If you're going through anything, it's because the devil is opposing the good things that you're doing on behalf of the Lord. If Satan is causing havoc in your house, it's because you are blessing too many other houses. Take it from Pastor Evans, I'm trying to tell you. Satan's job is to humiliate you. His job is to tear down your family. His job is to cause a stumbling block for your wife. His job is to mess up your kids. His job, if flip the script, his job is to mess up your husband. His job is to cause your kids to go astray. His job is to do the very best that he can in order to discredit your mission and your ministry and, sure enough, your word. Amen. If it's coming from the word of God, if it's coming from here, his job is to make you look like a phony and a hypocrite. But I dare you to stand fast, stand firm in the word and continue in the word and trust that God will deliver you and your family out of whatever it is Satan is conjuring up because of your service to him. Amen. I know I'm right on that. I know I am. I know I'm right. I know I'm right. So let's make sure that we understand verse number 11. In verse number 11, he says, if I'm still preaching my old sermons, then why are the Jewish authorities not liking me, wanting to get me? And then he says, then is the offense of the cross ceased. He said, because I'm not preaching Jesus anymore. Amen. Which could for some be a stumbling block. But he says, I am preaching Jesus, and you're the one with the problem and not me. Verse number 12, he says, I would they were cut off, even cut off, which trouble you. Whew. Paul says, I wish the Lord were going to deal with them. Amen. Oh, don't act like you haven't had those thoughts before. Haven't you thought in your mind, Lord, I'm doing everything that is right. Lord, I'm living right. Lord, I'm doing right. But you know what? I need you to deal with my enemies. As a matter of fact, they keep lying on me. They keep digging ditches for me. They keep making my life difficult. God, I wish that you would just come on now and deal with them. As he says, I wish you just cut them off. Now, y'all know what he means by cut them off. Amen. He's talking about cut them up. Cut their head off. Cut them. Just get rid of them. Oh, yeah, that's what that means. Yes, it does. Yes, that's, it doesn't mean shut them up. It means shut them up, but it means shut them up in a violent way. Paul was upset. Because you've had some people come in here and mess up the work that he had done. Wouldn't you be upset? Aren't you upset? If you've ever had to sit in a courtroom, see your kid sitting in the witness stand, huh? Or sitting next to a lawyer, and you sitting there thinking, I didn't raise that boy to be like that. I didn't raise that girl to be like that. Won't that make you mad? Huh? And then you see their friends come in. Usually the friends ain't coming down there anyway. But as soon as you bail them out, they all trying to gather up in your front yard. And you saying, get your so-and-so out of my yard. And you, who just got out of jail, get your behind in this house. I mean, come on now. It makes you mad. Paul was angry. He was upset here. And then he says in verse number 13, he says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. He says, hey, Christians, those listening to me, those reading this letter, he said, brethren, amen. Brethren, he means those who believe like I believe, those who are disciples like I'm a disciple. He said, you got to understand, the Lord hasn't called you to be bound by the law. The Lord has called you to be liberated. He's called you to be set free from the flesh. He's called you there. Amen. But then he also says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. He says, don't let this freedom cause you to think that you can do anything in your body or to anybody. Oh, no, I didn't give you that gift of charisma in order to swoon some woman and sleep with her. I didn't give you I didn't put that in you to where you can manipulate an individual. He said, no, you don't get to live anyway. You don't get to act anyway. Liberty does not mean license. Liberty means service. Commentator says license. I like that. Liberty means service. Christian liberty requires what we call outward facing action. Since you've been born again, you ought to demonstrate it through the life that you're living. That's how liberty ought to be lived out, by serving. I ain't say by volunteering. Don't tell me nothing about volunteering, because volunteers get to pick where they serve. But real servants go where there is a need. Real servants go where they've been assigned. I get so sick of these preachers and these so-called wannabe church leaders and all this. But amen, these missionaries. How are you a missionary and you don't want to go but to the place where you feel comfortable in going? If the Lord asks you, if the Lord is asking or sending you, if God through your pastor, through your leadership, through your president, amen, or through your coordinator is asking you to go serve in a given place at a given time, how dare you say you are servant of God and refuse to go there? You volunteer. I'm here, but I ain't got long. No, hold up. If you are here, then you're here long enough to serve. Serve where I need you to serve. Praise be to God, amen. Serve where I need you to serve. Praise be to God, amen. Where I need you to serve. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Don't be talking to me about Jew. Don't be talking to me about Gentile, says Paul. Don't be talking to me about those who are of the law and those who are not of the law. One of the things that comes with our faith walk is that we are children of God. We are all part of God's family through our belief in Christ Jesus as our Savior, bringing us all under the big tent of believers, not based on your ethnicity, but we are all children of the Most High God. And love that we have for one another is just something that we do. It's a part of you. Verse 15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Paul says, if y'all fighting against each other, amen. Keep in mind that when church folk fight, you are living and doing just what Satan wants you to do. When you act a fool on the church ground, or you act a fool on social media, I've seen some people just be total idiots. Just crazy. Crazy on social media, and I'm sick of it. It's a shame. Church folk fighting each other on social media. It's a sin against God. And verse number 15 is speaking to that. If you are fighting against one another and people see it, non-believers say, see that? That's why I'm not a Christian, because they are hypocrites. They are phony. Look at it. This one want to kill that one. This one talking about chopping up that one. This one talking about putting somebody's town flat. This one talking about, you better not let me see you outside. These are grown Christian people. Are you really Christian? I don't think you are. I'm going to call you out. I don't think you are. I don't think you can be a child of God. Amen. And talk about harming another child of God. Go and write me. You know my email address. I'm calling you out. Ain't nothing godly about that. Because what you do is you give license to unbelievers and you keep them from knowing who God is. And you did just what the devil wanted you to do. Just what the devil wanted you to do. He says, and I'm done, he says in his word, do not be consumed one of another. Do not attack each other, because the result would be a mutual destruction. You're going to mess up everything and everybody. May God bless you. May God keep you. Freedom to love. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you for all you do and have done. We pray, God, your covering. We thank you for the power that is in your word. We pray, Father, that we will live it. We pray, Father in heaven, that your word will trouble our minds if we're not doing right, and that it will correct us, Father in heaven, so that we can live an upright life. It's in Jesus' name that we pray this prayer together. Thank God and amen. Thank y'all for coming to our Wednesday Bible study. Take this lesson, y'all, go share it. Love you. Have a great rest of the day.
Wow, what an amazing lesson we heard just now. We're very grateful for our very own teacher, and we are grateful for you. We're thankful for the work that you continue to do through your giving. Now, if you want to be part of that, you will see that there are various ways of being able to give. Through your giving, we are able to help feed the needy, help clothe the naked, and help those that are in need. And we are thankful for being the church in the community. Whether it's giving online, whether it's paying your tithes in person, we thank God for each and every one of you.